Can you believe that? You look at all the people in this planet, and God is willing each and every person on. God wants you to succeed. God wants you to be successful in your life. But he wants you to be a part of his kingdom. And so from the moment that you are conceived, he already has you in his thoughts. And when you are born into the world, he has your interests in mind. He will be urging those, he'll be wanting those around you to be good influences on you. He will want you to hear an opportunity of listening to his word. And he will want you to grow and mature in an understanding of him. And it may be that you don't grow up in that atmosphere, but at some point God will bring an opportunity your way for you to hear him. Because he wants you to succeed. And when you hear the gospel, he is wanting you to respond to his message. And when you become a Christian, if you fulfill what God wants of you to do, what he's willing for you to do, when you become a Christian, he wants you to stay on the road, on the path, on the journey. And he is willing each person in this room to be successful. He doesn't want you to be lost, and that is why he calls upon the preacher to preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince. What we're doing, convincing, rebuking, exhorting with all long suffering and teaching. Why? Because the time will come when people will not endure sound doctrine according to their own desire. Because man is built up with a mechanism within him to desire after his own wants, to desire after his own needs. And that is why God protects his people. And that is why the Apostle Paul tells Timothy, listen Timothy, you better take these things seriously. He says, I want you to be watchful in all things and endure all afflictions and do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. You know, part of my ministry is that at times I may have to say things that people aren't going to want to hear. You may have to hear a sermon one day that you don't want to hear. Maybe I'll have to tackle you face to face. Maybe I'll have to come to you and tell you that something's wrong and needs changing. And maybe I'll have to rebuke you through the word of God. And it certainly makes the work I do quite difficult because it can be a lonely ministry. And one of the things I always tell anybody going out in the ministry, be ready. Because in a church is full of people with all kinds of difficulties and struggles. And we all need to be pulled up. We all need to be firmly balanced. We all need to be firmly grounded. And it takes stability and faith. And it takes courage. And there are times when, you know, that may be the situation that happens. Some will turn against me. As a preacher, some will turn against me. You know, there are people I know at the moment that don't shake my hand or talk to me because of things I'll have to tell them. You know, just this week I had a phone call and I was told I was going to be taken to court by a brother. So you face all kinds of situations in this ministry. But I want you to understand something, and this is very important. Be assured, I will always speak up against sin. I will not be afraid to call sin out. I will challenge sin, and I will place God before any man without any question. I will always do that. And I want to share with you something that's important, because I think these things are the things that we have to understand as Christians, that we need to understand. In 1 Timothy 4:12, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity, till I come, give attention to the reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. All of these things are so important. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. I want you to listen to this, friend. It says, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear. And that is why the truth is so important. That is why it's crucial that we hear the facts. So let me tell you, bringing up your children, you will not lie to them about the dangers on the road. You won't hesitate to shout at them if they start poking their fingers in an electric socket, or they're sitting too close to a burning flame in a fire. It's talking about taking heed to ourselves and to the doctrines in relation to the Word of God, in relation to the truth, in relation to the teaching, because this journey we are on is not easy. And so we have to have the truth. Know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. It's the truth that reveals the facts. Okay, I say to everyone, right, everybody, go home this week and bake a cake, and everybody bring your cake in. Next Sunday, everybody brings a cake in, and they're going to be the same. They'll be different. There'll be chocolate cakes, banana cakes, fruit cakes, all kind of things will be brought in. The recipes will be different, which means the results will be different. That is why we live in a world of chaos. We live in a world of chaos because people pick this up and change it and alter it and mess with it and add to it. And so what happens is you have many recipes of life, many thoughts from man. But you see, we talked about the doctrine and how man will change the Word of God. God says, as He wills you, the best for you, that you are surrounded by the truth. You see, in life I want to know the truth. If I go to a bank and take out a loan, and I go in there and I say to him, how much is the interest? And he just gives me a figure. But I'm not entirely sure what the interest is and what are the terms, and just give me an estimated time. Of course, you would go in and you would want the facts. You want the truth. You want the evidence. You want everything there so that you understand exactly. And that is the work for the church. That is my work as a minister. Bringing people into Christ, but also teaching them to stay there. And that is why we talk about eldership. One day, God willing, we will have shepherds to shepherd the flock. By God's grace, we pray for that every day, that God's will be done. In 1 Corinthians 6, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? That's how serious it is. The unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. That is why, as a church, we've got to be on guard. That is why in our lives we have to be on guard. Because if we are not living our lives in a righteous way, the passage says we don't inherit the kingdom of God. Our lives will be a life that will be of no value. We'll be living a life that won't save us eternally. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. This is why we have to be firm. This is why we have to be strong. This is why we cannot have things that are running in conflict with the truth and with God's word. The Apostle Paul in Galatians shows how we must use our freedom to serve each other in self-sacrificing love. In other words, what is happening, when you read Galatians, it's an amazing study. It's a wonderful study. Hopefully we'll get a chance to study it together as a church. But in Galatians 5 and verse 1 it says, stand fast therefore in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Verse 7 through 14, again, as you go through that section, it deals with this love motive that will become the replacement for all the law of Moses. Now, what had happened was the people were struggling with their mindset related to the law of the past. Now, as they become a Christian, they have been free from that. They've been free from that law. They've been set free from it. But in this instance, of course, under the old law, they would be circumcised. And they're saying, well, you know, we're going to get these Christians and we're going to tell them that they've got to do the same. And they're trying to bring in the old ways into the new law. And so it says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. Don't be entangled anymore with this yoke of bondage. And in verse 11 of Galatians 5, it says, and I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offence of the cross has ceased. I could wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbour as yourself. And Christian freedom frees us from that old law, frees us from them old ways, frees you from your old path, frees you from your captivity. And you are set free on this new journey in life. And he says that the Christian freedom does not mean that believers may do as they like, because we have a pattern by which God wants us to live. But he uses this word love. They must think of others at all times. These churches seem to have been in a state of great distraction with all the problems that they were struggling with at the time. They were continually fighting amongst themselves. They had fallen from the grace of the gospel. Christ no longer dwelt in their hearts by faith. And that is why these people were not the people that God wanted them to be. You see, God is looking for people who live in peace. He's looking for people who are willing to accept that there are times when we get things wrong and we have to put them right in our lives. You know, there are times when someone may need to come up to you and say, you've got to change. And we've got to be willing to receive that with love and willing to want to change. We don't want to fall from the grace of the gospel. Christ no longer dwelt in their hearts, brethren, and they just became a group of people who were based on the legalistics and the past and just standing. You know, we often, I've referred to this before, you know, about people who you can fill your head with knowledge and you'll end up with a fat head. That'll be it. It'll just be a mind full of knowledge. You know, if I just eat food and sit in a chair all day, I'm just going to get bigger and bigger. I'm just going to be enormous. What do I have to do when I eat? I have to go exercise and work that off. And our Christian life is about that. It's about utilizing what we have. We should be filling ourselves and then literally using it up, all the energy that we have, and then coming and filling ourselves. That when we come here today, we should all be deflated and ready to be charged up so that we leave here ready to go. And the problem is that we see here that this church is continually in fights and battles and conflicts. You know, they would be unhappy with the messengers. and they had fallen from the grace of the gospel. You know, the biggest destructive measure can be pride. Pride. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to let you tell me that. Anger and bitterness and ill will. All of this is based around one thing. It's the word self. This all took possession of their souls, because all that mattered was themselves and what they felt and what they believed. And let me tell you something, brethren. There is nothing so destructive to the peace of man and the soul of man, and more damaging to God's church, than conflict within the body. And shameful. Shameful. The brethren can go home at night with things that they're not willing to resolve, and sleep is beyond them. Beyond them. I don't know how they do it. It's beyond them. Nothing is more destructive than that. And the Bible teaches against it. Conflict within the body affects the church. In Galatians 5, verse 13, for you, brethren, are being called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Listen, we studied Galatians 5. We've studied parts of those passages. Let me encourage you as well to look at these things. You've been called to liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this: you shall love your neighbour as yourself. Who is your neighbour? Who is your neighbour? Is your neighbour somebody to choose? You sit on a bus and you sit down on a bus and you don't choose the person who sits next to you. You just sit there in the there. You go on an aircraft and you've got your seat pre-booked. You don't know who you're going to be sitting next to, but you can be assured whoever you're sitting next to, they're your neighbour while you're flying. They'll be there with you. We in a congregation are neighbours and brothers and sisters in Christ. And the Bible says, through love, serve one another. That means we serve not because of necessity, or not because we feel it's an obligation, but because of the love that we have for each other. For all the law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbour as yourself. And then it says this in verse 15 of Galatians 5. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. I always find that fascinating. If you bite and devour one another, that is how it is seen through Scripture. Is it God's will that you devour your fellow Christians or one another? You see, you probably learned growing up by about the age of two, when your teeth are coming through, that biting's not a good thing. You'd be disciplined for biting someone. The problem is, some people never learn the lesson, even as adults. So we're not talking about physical biting. Christians biting and devouring is a metaphor, what we call a metaphor for the way Christians can treat one another if we're not careful. They are viewing others as expendable and using them up. They are having anger and rage and ripping at each other with words like sharp teeth. That's scary. But listen, brethren, we're human beings. This lesson isn't a lesson of reprimand or attack. But this is a warning. This is a warning to us all to be on our guard. Making sure, you know, anger and rage and ripping at each other. Gruesome image of nasty conflicts and disputes among God's people. And if we're not careful, it can happen. And so this devouring is seen in that way. The Christians attack each other like this, the result is always terrible wounds and hurts. And so Paul says, by this kind of behaviour, you'll be destroying someone. And so that is our warning. That is our biblical warning, that Christians get hurt, even leave God. And non-Christians witness this. What do they see when they witness this? They too may turn away from God. And so this isn't necessarily a reflection upon this congregation. I'm not preaching this in that way, but I'm just doing it as a warning to us all to be on guard, to understand our relationship with each other, and understand how we should be living. And so in verse 16 of Galatians 5, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. You see, our walk has to be a spiritual walk. Our walk is something that it is not physical. Paul is putting the flesh against the spirit. They both have desires, do you know that? The flesh has desires, and so does the spirit. They're two different things. Following the flesh results in death and destruction, because the flesh says, I'm going to take someone to court. I'll ring them up and I'll scream at them, I'm taking you to court. But the spirit does not do that. A Christian would not do that, because that is not how we are. Why? Because we are no longer walking in the flesh. We are walking in the spirit. But both have desires. And so following the flesh will result in death. That will be the result of those who want to walk that way. But you see, we as Christians, when we look at what is being taught here, we are told this walk, this is your lifestyle, brethren, this is your journey. Following the flesh or following the spirit, because the spirit results in life. Results in life. That is the journey. So use your liberty to walk holy living. And so our journey should be a journey that is a holy living. He says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Why? Because the two don't go together. Just like light and darkness. You have darkness, you take a light, as soon as the light goes in, the darkness dissipates. They cannot blend together. It's like the light if it's dark, and the light will overcome the dark. And the only way the darkness comes back is when the light is removed, when the light is turned off. And so we, in the liberty that we walk, in our walk, is a walk which should be done in the Spirit. Because that is the journey, that is the path that we are on. We naturally shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh if we walk in the Spirit, because the flesh has no place in our life. And it is no part of our life. Walking is a common picture of travelling. When you think of walking, you think of movement. You're going somewhere. You're making progress. But you can be making progress in either direction. So the question is, how are you progressing in life? And how do you walk? And so, brethren, we need to walk in the Spirit. You know, you walk in the Spirit, you know what people will see? They'll see Jesus. They'll see Jesus in you, how you go through life. And you know, life is about changing and developing and adapting. It's a process. But we're on a journey. And one of the greatest lessons we can be given is this lesson of the walk and the type of way in which we walk. In John 14 and verse 16, this is what Jesus said, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. And as the Apostle Paul said earlier, we have to be led by the Spirit, we have to walk in the Spirit. It means to walk in line with God's will. And to be people who imitate Christ in our living. We live at peace with others. That we produce the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Let them listen. The fruit of the Spirit. Just examine that. See how what difference you can make in your life by that. It is important that we always treat people with love and respect, especially each other. And remember that we are united as a body on a journey. Listen, if I'm going wrong on my journey, please, I hope somebody pulls me up and tells me. Because I don't want to miss my eternal place in heaven because of a mistake that I didn't know about. James 3:16, where envy and self-seeking exist, you know what comes? Confusion. And every evil thing are there. So that is the result. That is the result. All these things exist. And then it produces this confusion in life. Let's end with 1 John 4. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. And that's the relationship that we have. Today, it's time to change. Love is the requirement of a follower of Christ. And that passage finishes off with this. Anyone who does not love does not know God. For God is love. Let's rise and have our conversation.
Gracias. that to be.